Welcome to the Godfathers of Podcasting. Now, in case y'all didn't know, they've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Archives of this show are available on every major podcast provider, and you can find video archives, merch, and more on their website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. Now, here are your hosts, two guys who have been broadcasting online since 1996, the Godfathers of Podcasting themselves, Donnie Da Silva and Chris Tidwell.
Yes, 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 we are back. It is Thursday, June 13th, 2024. My name is Donnie Da Silva, like the lady said. And each and every week that we actually get around to doing this damn thing, I am joined by that big chili pepper right there. He is my brother from another mother. That is Notorious T.I.D., Chris Tidwell. How the hell are you, my man?
How many mothers could you possibly have?
Let's not go down that piece of the family tree. Like, there are questions,
right? Like, I've been called a mother my entire life.
Yeah.
And I mean, you always have, like, you have the aunt who's a mother.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Or like an older sister who's a mother. Like, but I mean, if you got brothers from other mothers, aren't they just your cousins?
I mean, potentially, yeah. I mean, and then you bring up a good point, because I refer to you as my brother from another mother. I refer to Danny O as my brother from yet another mother. Our guest this week is my brother from a Mexican mother. So there are a Puerto Rican mother. So we have many mothers, and this is just the way it works. It takes a village to raise an idiot like me.
Dads be busy, yo.
How's your week been?
You know, it's been crazy. It's been busy. I mean, it's summertime, so there's not enough time. You know what I mean? And also, I don't know if you know this or not, Donnie. I'm just going to get it out right now. Brand new season of The Boys has started. So, you know, that's going to take up at least an hour a night for me going forward. I don't know if you're into that show or not, but it is quite stupendous. You should watch it with your kid, by the way.
Sorry, what show is that again?
The Boys.
Oh, I listen, no word of a lie. Mm-hmm. Last weekend, I might be the shit father of the year for this, but my kid comes to me and he says, hey, can we watch The Boys? And I said, absolutely not. And he's like, he goes, well, why not? And I said, because it's R-rated and it's filthy and it's violent and they're cussing every other word. And he goes, oh, okay. So then we are searching for something else to watch. And he turns to me and goes, I kind of already watched season one at my mom's house. And I'm like, what? I said, does your mother know this? He's like, no, I was in my room.
See, man, these child locks on these tablets, it's got to happen.
Like,
somebody forgot to put the child proofing on the Amazon account is what happened.
So I said, all right, you know what? We'll watch it together. Same rule as always when it comes to stuff like this. Just because you hear it doesn't mean you can say it. It's the same thing when we visit Tidwell.
It's more than that. Have you watched it?
Of course. We watched season one together.
Okay, yeah, you can't go into season two or three with them.
It's so much worse, right?
Dude, I'm telling you straight up.
Okay.
People diving into, there's orgies, superhero orgies.
Okay, we're going to revisit The Boys. My son and I will revisit The Boys when he's 17.
Yeah.
Wow. That was literally his joke, by the way, when I said, just because you hear it doesn't mean you can say it. And his line was, just like when we go to TIDS.
I mean,
by the way, folks,
every lesson costs.
Don't forget, if you like this show, and I don't know why you would, but if you do, go to baronialbeard.com to get all your beard maintenance products. They are great. I'm going to be meeting with the heads of Baronial Beard next week, and letting them know how much you all love their products and keep them on board as a sponsor. Also, do not forget, I'm wearing one as I always do, but blackborkusa.com is your place for these amazing ball caps with the removable patches, where you can go ahead and put any goddamn patch you want on your goddamn hat. It can be one of the hundreds that they sell on their website, or you can just make your own custom ones to be whatever the hell you want. Like Godfather's a podcast. Don't ask them for that unless we're getting a cut of it. But you can get any kind of patch you want, and they will make it. And they have tons of different colors and styles of hats. Go to blackborkusa.com. That's B-O-R-K, blackborkusa.com. And we have another sponsor that's going to be joining us in the next few weeks, Tidwell, and I'm excited about them as well. But we won't talk about that right now, but just let people know there's more coming.
Do the Black Bork guys do Kangles?
They do not do Kangles at this time.
Fedoras?
No fedoras. I'll put in the request.
A beret?
A beret. Wow.
Like
a
fucking beret? Like what was that Sliwa guy? The Guardian Angels? Remember those vigilante pieces of crap? They used to go around New York thinking that they were tough.
They made the beret. They made the beret look tough. When I was a 14-year-old in cadets,
beret
did not look tough.
No.
It just looked like a target.
Oh, when I was in high school and I was in the drum line, and we had the option, legit, I was part of the percussion line. We had the option because the rest of the band had those, like, you know, those stupid band hats that went up. We were like, nah, we ain't playing that game. At least let us wear like black berets and look like as geeky cool as we possibly could.
Let me try to look like an assassin. See, you would have pulled off the assassin look. I just look like a French gay guy that was on tour.
I mean, we all have our dues in life to pay.
Listen, we've been fucking around long enough. Make sure you visit our sponsors, but we need to get to the main event of this week's show because the man's been sitting backstage long enough. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time right now for the big hello. And this week's guest, he's a favorite of ours, and that's why we keep having him back on. He's a former boxing champion turned police officer who eventually found his niche as a badass stand-up comic. I can vouch for that. I've seen him perform live several times. He is one of the original Latin kings of comedy. He's also not on the screen.
He's out.
He's an award-winning screenwriter.
He might be having some issues right now, apparently.
Okay, he's having issues, but he is an award-winning screenwriter, director, and producer. And he's one of my favorite people. Is he back?
No. I love the fact that he may have just got deported.
ICE finally caught him?
They rounded him up in San Diego. Joy Medina is living the born in East LA life right now. He's just been scooped up by La Migra.
What the fuck?
Oh, that's amazing. You know, he is on the road. He is taking care of things. And maybe the Wi-Fi and stuff like that isn't as copacetic as, you know, it could be. But we can try this again because...
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, he lives in L.A. where it never gets snowy. Today's in San Diego being a little showy.
It's a shitty place.
I heard he once banged a white girl named Chloe. He could have wifed her up, but she was kind of hoey. Now give it up to my vato loco, my main homie. This is Mr. Medina, first name Joey. What up, dude?
Perfect. Crickets. That's exactly the way that thing should have fallen. Joey.
What's up, man? Could you hear me?
Did you not pay for the Wi-Fi?
I'm getting Wi-Fi from Tijuana.
The funny thing is, his Wi-Fi was perfect. Is shitty here. It was perfect right before we started recording, and then it turns to dog shit.
Amazing.
Oh, this is rough.
Okay, I can hear you guys now. Don't move.
Okay.
Guys, stay exactly where you are.
All right.
Don't move.
Don't worry. You're not moving either, but it's for different reasons.
Can you guys hear me or no?
Oh, yeah.
We can hear you.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. You're in San Diego. Are you at a hotel?
Wait. Let me try to turn the Wi-Fi off and just use a signal. Hold on.
All right.
This is shitty. Sorry, guys.
I love that he's such a stud that he's willing to he's willing to give up his own data for us right now. That's the most beautiful thing about Joey Medina.
He's a great guy. He's a brother.
It's hilarious.
And I was saying earlier to you off air, Joey agreed to come on the show this week, a week or two ago. And he's like, yeah, no problem, brother. I'm happy to come back on. And then yesterday he messages me and says, shit, I got to go to San Diego tomorrow. I said, oh, okay. So I'm thinking he's telling me we got to reschedule. I'm like, no problem. He's like, don't worry, brother. I got you. Like, like who says that? Everybody else would be like, hey, it's a busy day. Fuck off. Like, I ain't doing your podcast.
Dude, my favorite one that, you know, you get all the time is, love to. Awesome. And then you hit him back with like, okay, how does this day and this time sound for you? And then crickets. I'm like, what the fuck?
That's a little bit of the behind the scenes when it comes to the fun of booking guests on the show.
It's happened so many times. How many times have I sent you a message going, yo, I just talked to so-and-so. They're like, cool, doing the show. And then, boop, ghosted. It's like,
I love when people say, how do you get so many cool guests? I'm like, you should see the ones we don't get.
They're way cooler.
Hey, there he is. How we doing?
All right. Are we good?
I can hear you. You can hear us?
Oh, my signal's still shitty.
Uh-oh.
It must be San Diego.
Damn it. Oh, fuck.
You know what? If it's going to be too rough, man.
Yeah. No.
We don't need to stress out about it.
No, how about I can hear you guys better now. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Oh, okay. Right. So hey, what's up?
You know what? In my head, I was thinking to myself, oh, this is going to be a lot of editing. And just now I thought, nah, I'm not editing any of this shit.
Oh, fuck it. It's great.
Let it ride. Who gives a fuck?
Hey, man.
Everybody, here's a peek behind the fucking curtain.
What are you doing in San Diego, bro?
Like, well, I'm doing a show tonight at a real popular sushi bar, believe it or not. Once it says sushi, I'm in. And then, There's a small part of San Diego called Ocean Beach where it's very dog friendly. Like the hotels have a dog run, the restaurants, you can bring your dogs into restaurants, they have a off leash beach. So I'm like, you know what, let me make a little family trip, bring my girl and my dog and, you know, hang out. But then I looked, I didn't know how far the gig was from here. The gig is halfway back home. So I'm like, fuck, we drove all the way here.
What? This is not good planning, Medina.
Yeah, it's bad planning. Definitely bad planning on my side. I didn't have to go anywhere.
You know? How you been, brother? I mean, you and I have talked off air, but for the sake of the audience, because they don't get to hear our conversations off air, how the hell you been over the last few months that we haven't had you on the show?
I've been good, man. Like everything else in life, a lot of ups, lots of downs. The game show looks like it's technically hiatus, but I think the game show's done.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then what else? And then that's it. Been working on some cruise ships, and that's never fun. And you know, people think, oh, cruise ships are so much fun. Yeah, when you're a passenger, when you have a gig there, it's not the greatest.
Why is that?
It's just, it feels like work. It feels like you're stuck. You know, it's like, imagine doing a show at a comedy club and then you can't leave that comedy club for a week. You're like, fuck, it sucks. You know, I just, you know. And
then, would it be any different? What would be worse then? What would be worse, doing a cruise ship or doing like one of those all-inclusive resorts?
Well, I think I'd rather do that because you could leave the resort. A cruise ship, you can't leave unless, you know, it parks or whatever. And then it's just like, you know, it's the same food all the time. And, you know, after what, like, I tell people a bad buffet is like a bad orgy. Like, sure, it's all you can eat, but do you really want to? You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
I also think now, as I ponder this, because I've seen
Chris
you
is trying to figure that out.
I mean, I'm weighing my options here. I've been to some pretty good buffets, if you know what I mean,
and bad orgies. I've seen the way it works when you play a club, right? You go up there and you absolutely kill, and then once you're done, you get swarmed by every single person that wants to come talk to you and wants to shake your hand and wants to take your picture. Now you got to live in that for a week. Like, you walk around the boat, yeah, and these
same,
people
and
are
the same people.
Oh, fuck. That's a special kind of hell to me. Like, I would not enjoy that at all.
I mean, that's not too bad because I'm always good with, you know, people.
Yeah, you're good with people. For me, that's hell.
Right. Yeah, but it's just, you know, and then it's the same people at the shows, and you're like, you know, they sit in the same place. I'm like, I already talked to them. Like, what else am I going to pull out of them? You know what I mean? It's like, all right.
And they're waiting for, you know, they're waiting just, for you when the thing finally lands back in Florida. They're waiting for you to get off the ship so you can exchange numbers and be lifelong friends. They're like, oh, it was so nice, Joey. Okay, Karen.
Are you
some
doing
people
multiple?
Am. Some people I'm still friends with.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing, Ted. Joey's not like us. Joey likes people.
What?
He's not like us.
Fuck is wrong with you?
When you're doing a cruise ship and you're on there for a week, are you doing multiple sets for the same people?
Yeah.
Oh,
I do like 5 to 6 different sets.
Oh my God, that's a lot of material. What the fuck?
So, you gotta go out there with crowd work though, right? Like just as filler, even the crowd work.
I always do crowd work.
So I'm saying.
Yeah, I always do crowd work, but it's but you know, I also have material. But the thing is, I don't have a set. Like I have certain jokes that I put together with other jokes, right? Yeah. But I don't have a set, so it's really hard for me to do it because I'm just talking and I'm like, did I already say this? Did I not say this? So it's really like the other day, I just started writing notes on my hand, and I kept on looking at my hand, and people thought it was a gimmick, like I was just, you know, using my hand as a prop. But after the show, I'm like, no, look, I really had shit on my hand. I can't remember, you know. So I have to remind myself, okay, this joke, because you haven't done it yet.
Yeah, last year when Joey was doing a bunch of shows here in the Toronto area, he did a set on a Friday night, and then he was going back to the same club the next night, and he's calling me on the Saturday morning going, hey, did I do this joke last night? Because I have no idea. I'm trying to rack my brain. Like, did I hear this bit? I don't know. So, yeah.
It's worse when you have like 2 or 3 shows a night.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I just said it or I did not say it. Like, I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't know.
I don't know. I think that would be one of the funniest things in the world. If you just went to a club for 3 shows in the one night and sat through all of them, and the comedian had to do all 3, did them exactly the same all the way through, like it was some Cirque du Soleil show.
Oh, I've watched
some people do that.
It's not fun. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of comics will have an act. They'll do this, and then they'll do this, and then from beginning to end, it's almost like a script. And I mean, that's okay if that's what, you know, that's what they want to do. It's not my style. Like, I'm more organic on stage. I'm just kind of like, it almost seems like I'm making up the whole thing while I'm on stage, because it's the ideas are coming to me at different times. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it feels real, because I'm like, oh, how about this? Oh, how about that? You know?
Yeah. And you're reacting to shit that you see, and you're reacting to the way people in the crowd are taking you. So yeah, it's a different vibe. I get it, man. So talk to me about, because I'm curious to know. Well, okay, I'm lying. This is the showbiz part of me being an asshole. I already know the answer to this question because you and I talk. But for the audience, tell us what's going on with your film Teeth.
Hold on, you're breaking up. You have to react because you broke up.
I didn't even know we were dating.
Can you hear me now, Joey?
Yeah.
Okay, I was saying, let the audience know.
What is it now?
The last time you were on the show, we were talking about your film Teeth. So let people know where you're at with it.
Well, I'm kind of close to the same place. Right now, what I'm doing with Teeth is I'm going to put some videos together, like kind of like GoFundMe videos to promote. We need to raise money for it. I need to raise around 10 grand for the film. And then once...
Well, guess what? He also needs to raise about $22.52 to pay for the Wi-Fi. Listen, I don't care if it's dog friendly. You know what it ain't? It ain't Wi-Fi friendly. I'll tell you that much. That's the best. We need to raise some money. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I'm peeing myself.
Well, that's just because you're old.
And I'm back.
Oh, hey, look who joined us.
So it says something about my teeth. What, I got something right here? No, I'm kidding. We're doing some GoFundMe. We're going to start some GoFundMe stuff because the film is going to be a little pricey to shoot because of special effects and makeup and digital effects and everything. So I'm probably going to try to raise about 10 grand. And 10 grand really is not a lot for a film, but, you know, it's more than I got right now. So I've got to raise it. And then once I do that, then we can continue on with it. But it's pretty much cast already. It's a lot of the props are bought. The location's done, is ready. Right now, I just need to make it happen. And then, you know, get the makeup people and shit like that. And then go to town. I can't wait to do it. There's a bunch of stuff, you know, I have on deck. But Teeth is something I really want to get off the... Because I already cast it, the movie already. Already cast the movie. So it's... I want to get to it faster than... Sooner than later.
You want to sink your teeth into it.
Absolutely.
It's
don't fucking it's... encourage me, Joey. Don't fucking encourage me.
The thing hasn't even been shot yet, but how many awards have you picked up on the screenplay?
Just 8.
Just 8. That's it's a humble 8. Project. Just 8 awards.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy.
What's that?
I was going to say, how many of those awards, those screenplay awards, does LeBron have?
None.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. In your face, LeBron.
Joey picks up film awards like Tid used to pick up STDs back in the
day.
Okay,
they're called STIs now.
It's true. You can call them a fist racist.
But he's had that all cleared up.
The funny thing is what the fuck is this? Yeah. No, it's fuck, I was gonna say, oh, like, you know, it's funny, like I enter in some things and some contests that I've won, and even ones that I didn't win, they'll give me feedback, which is nice. And what that's called, like, it's called coverage, when someone covers your script. So they tell you the good, the bad, you know, whatever. And sometimes I agree with them, sometimes I don't. But one of them was dumb. It was Slam Dance. It's a big film festival called Slam Dance. They liked the script, but they had like things like this. For instance, there's a scene where where a baby falls out of a pregnant woman's wound in her stomach and she eats the baby. And they said, maybe I should leave that out. Like, I shouldn't write that in. I'm like, it's not a fucking novel. It's a script. If it's on the screen, it has to be in the script. Like, I'm thinking, right. These people do not know how to write a script. Like, what's wrong with them? Like, that's the way it works. It's like the script. If it's not in paper, it's not on the screen. So it has to be right. On paper. So of course right. I had to write it. I mean, it's you know what I mean? It's stupid. It's like telling The Exorcist, you know, leave that whole, you know, devil thing out. Just like, it's just so stupid. It's like, when I saw that, I'm like, ah, fuck it. They don't know what they're talking about.
I feel like some of these film festivals are out to lunch, because I remember when you and I went to that, whatever it was called, that Nigerian film festival here in Toronto. Yeah. And I'm sitting with Joey, and they actually, well, they had Joey go up and perform, and then they actually showed his short film to everyone that was there in the theater, Meet Los Parents, which, if you haven't watched it, go on YouTube and watch it. It's fucking hilarious. And we're sitting there and we're watching, and it's like, and the nominees for best comedy short are Meet Los Parents and then five other things I've never seen. And he didn't win. And I'm like, what the fuck? So then we keep watching the awards.
I was nominated like, for five awards.
Nominated for five awards. And then we see the presentation for, and the nominees for best dramatic short, Meet Los Parents. And the winner is Meet Los Parents for best dramatic short.
I was like, what?
And Joey looks at me and goes, what the fuck?
It had to be based on the dialogue. Maybe they only got the audio version of it and they couldn't, you know, catch the visual.
It was a blind person who only heard the script.
Seriously.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. Like, I could have won any of the other ones that I was more qualified for. That one, I'm thinking, oh, it's nice for nomination, but I'm never going to win that. That's ridiculous. Because it wasn't a drama at all.
And Joey's like, but Joey says to me, goes,
take the win.
Yeah, Joey's, he's holding the trophy back in his seat, and he goes, I kind of feel bad because the other nominees were actually good dramatic shorts. I'm like, you gonna give it back? He's like, fuck no.
Exactly. You bank on that.
Fuck it. Losers, weepers, whatever the fuck. It's like, I'm going to take the win, you know, but that was odd. That was very odd. Film festival. I mean, the film festival was great. It was an odd win, but you never know. Maybe that, you know, maybe something in their bylaws or whatever in their thing. Who knows? But it's like Schindler's List was also nominated for best comedy.
That festival was all about inclusion and cultural diversity. And when they finished mm-hmm. handing out the awards, they probably said, shit, the Puerto Rican didn't win anything.
We got to give him something.
He flew all the way up here.
The audience looked like the cast of Welcome to America with Eddie Murphy.
That's legit. It was really cool, but it was bizarre. It was like we were in Nigeria.
Yeah. More than once, I had to say, "Is that velvet?" Because with lion suits on and everything. No, but they were the nicest people. They really were. They were so sweet.
In fairness, you didn't have to ask that question. You just wanted to find out. You could have just kept that shit inside. I love that. So are you, because I know that you've always got a million things going on, are you, while you're trying to get funding for Teeth, are you already brainstorming the next script?
Yeah, I actually have three scripts that are completed, but I'm still working on Wet Bakula. But one of the next things I want to do is a documentary, believe it or not. on the history of Hispanic comedy. Yeah.
I missed that. The history of what?
I know how to do it. Pardon me?
I missed what you said. The history of what?
Of Hispanic comedy.
Hispanic comedy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
You know, Freddie Prinze, George Lopez, Paul Rodriguez, like everything from the beginning all the way till now.
Yeah, that's pretty wild, man. I think that would be fascinating if you were, like, if you're taking a serious take on it, right? You're not doing this as a spoof.
Oh, yeah. No. Total serious take.
Well, don't let Carlos Mencia know about it. He'll steal it.
Oh, my God. You're such an asshole.
Poor guy.
Oh, fuck. You steal 4 sets and you never live it down.
I'm saying.
Oh, my God. That's so good. So you got a show tonight. And are you testing out some new stuff, Joey? You testing out some new bits tonight on the crowd?
Yeah. Tonight's going to be a recording it kind of thing so I can see what works, what doesn't work. Because what I like to do is I like to mix new things with old things and see kind of, sometimes I rebuild, like, you know, people will remodel a house, I'll remodel a joke and just change it all, make it look completely different.
Right. I love that. Yeah, it's funny because the other day I was talking to a buddy of mine from the wrestling world, and he said to me, he goes, "Oh, who's I love listening to your podcast. Who's coming on your podcast this week?" And I said, "Oh, it's Joey Medina. He's a stand-up." He goes, "You don't have to keep talking. I know who you're talking about. I love Joey Medina." I'm like, "Oh, okay." And I said,
"That's cool.
Have you ever seen him perform live?" He goes, "No, I haven't seen him perform live. I've seen stuff on YouTube, but I've never seen him perform live." And I said, "Well, tell you what, I'm giving the Iggy to a couple club promoters up here, and I'm going to see if we can get him booked ASAP because it needs to happen. But I said, you got to see him live because it's so great." And then I started telling him, I started doing my best Medina impression and doing one of your bits. I did the Morton's bit. And he was on the floor laughing. And I was like, "Now you should hear, now you got to hear Joey do it."
You know, it's so funny. On Instagram, I had about 17,000, you know, followers, whatever.
Yeah.
And I started doing reels. I started doing my stand-up comedy in reels like about 3 weeks ago. A month or 3 weeks ago. Anyway, it's incredible. I went from 17,000 to 36,000, I think, now. And I'm like, just from
you know what's wild?
I'm getting new fans.
Yeah. So you know what's wild that you say that?
Like, I'm starting to post shit, which I never did.
Yeah. So like a month ago, maybe a little longer, I think it was about a month ago, I got a text message from someone, and I thought it was one of these scam things, right? But it was a text message said, "Hi, my name is Nina. I work for Meta with Instagram, and I'd like to contact you to talk to you about your account." And I'm like, "Fuck off, Nina. Like, sorry, Muhammad, I'm not in the mood for this today." You know, like that's how I was taking it. And she goes, no, "This is for real. Would you like me to email you from a Meta email address so that you know this is real?" I said, "Yes, please." So she did. And she said, "I'd like to set up a time to talk to you about your account and how we can help improve your goals on Instagram." Okay. So we met. And I'm thinking the whole time, like, this is a gimmick. She's going to try and sell me something. She's trying to get me to buy ads or some shit. And all she did was sit on the phone with me for 40 minutes and talk about the importance of algorithm manipulation and how reels are the way to go. And she's like, you can put up pictures and whatever you want on Instagram, but it will never help your algorithm. It will never help your account grow. She's like, if you post reels at least 3 a week, you're going to see your engagement, your numbers, your followers go through the roof. And I said, Joey's got to go. He did not care for that conversation. He said,
fuck your story. He was like, that is the stupidest story I've ever heard in my life. I'm out. Fuck these guys.
You still there, brother?
No.
Medina, can you hear us? I don't think he can hear us.
Can you hear us now? No.
All right. It's all good.
I can't hear anything. You guys aren't on screen if you can hear me.
Is no hablo?
All right. You know what? No.
So let's repeat the whole show again.
From the top.
From the top. Ready? Action. Let's do it. Back to one, everyone. Let's back to one. Let's do this.
Listen, Joey, let's do this, man. You got a show to prep for. You've got money to raise for teeth. Raise some money to get better Wi-Fi at your hotel in San Diego, and then we'll catch up with you another time when you're stable. How about that?
Yeah. Yes, good. Yeah, this is my fault. This is a Motel 5. It's not even a Motel 6.
That's okay. Do the beds vibrate? Because that's a plus.
Yeah, but only when you put quarters in them.
That's okay. Bring lots of quarters. You'll go all night.
All right, yeah. Then next time, I'll make sure there's better Wi-Fi. I'm okay. So sorry, guys.
It's fine. It's fucking hilarious is what it is. It's hilarious. Yeah. So
I love you, fuckers.
I'm good. Yeah, I think you planned all this, and it's just a really good, clever bit. That's what I think.
This is how he gets out of talking about Rob Schneider shit talking Will Smith.
Oh wow! I stay out
it's
of
all good. Yeah. All right, Medina. Guys, we'll talk soon, brother. All right, have a good show tonight.
Thank you. You too.
There he goes, everybody. It's Joey Medina. Love that guy.
Technology just is not like a thing for some places, right? Because I'm sure that he has a very nice phone. It's not like he's on a flip phone or something like that, an old Motorola Tank or anything. He's got perfect technology. It's just sometimes you end up in these dead zones. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's hilarious. normally, you know me, right? Like, there was a time not that long ago, maybe as recently as last week, where if something like this had happened, I would have been freaking out. Sweat would have been dripping down my face. I would have been panicking and saying, Tid, what are we going to do? Oh my. And you know what? I'm good, baby.
I'd have been laughing my ass off. That's why this isn't as good to me, because you're not in panic mode right now. You're not losing shit over all of this, so that I can just sit back and go, fucking, I'm eating up.
I'm actually laughing too, because I actually know how much this bothers him. He's the one that's sweating and he's embarrassed and frustrated.
Right? It's amazing. So good.
All right. Before we go,
yeah,
you want to talk about a couple things going on in the world?
What's going on in the world with you, Donnie?
Well, it's not with me, but
all right,
just a couple things that I saw that I thought were kind of interesting. I saw a note this week, on this show and other shows that we have done together. We have dedicated a certain amount of time to talking about a certain television series, Dexter.
Yes.
And we're both enjoyers of the original series.
Yeah, yeah.
I think together we agreed that the new series, Dexter New Blood, was right?
It was good,
but not
great.
Right. That's fair. So now the news comes out. Well, the news came out a while ago, but the news came out this week that Dexter Original Sin has started filming this week. And Original Sin, for anyone who doesn't know, is a Dexter prequel meant to take place 15 years before season one of the original Dexter series.
And who's playing Dexter?
All new cast.
Yep, I'm out.
So I'm they've out. Got all new people playing all the principal characters. But you're going to see like Harry Morgan, Deborah Morgan, LaGuardia, Batista, you know, Matthews.
Here's the
thing. All those people.
No, it's dumb. It's a horrible idea. Here's the thing. I don't know if you've seen this. Ooh, dying. I don't know if you've seen this show or not called Power.
Power. Right? Like
Power. Okay. No. So the show called Power, it's kind of like Sons of Anarchy in the way that it's like, you know, drugs and deception and no. It's actually about, it's about a brother trying to get out of the life and go legit with clubs, but keeps getting dragged in and dragged in, and his son's growing up and his daughter and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And there's this progression. Everybody, it's that same formula of a show like a Sons of Anarchy or something like that, where it's like, oh, this week, this episode, they're working with them here. Next episode, they're fighting with them. And it's always everybody's trying to screw everybody over and stuff, right? Mm. Well, and 50 Cent is involved with all of this, right? So they did like Power. The first one had like 6 seasons. And then they did like Power Book 2, Ghost, which was like the story of his son, right? And then they did this one called Power Book 3 called Raising Kanan. Kanan was 50 Cent's character from the first installation called Power, right? But okay. They did this thing called Raising Kanan, where it was a throwback to how you found out about the character of Kanan going up. And I was like, nah, I skipped over season 3 and went straight to number 4. You know what I mean? Because I was like, I don't kiss my ass with these prequels. You know what I mean? Yeah. If it wasn't good enough to start from that point, then forget it. Leave it out. I don't care. You know?
I mean, that all being said, when we weren't watching The Boys season 1, my kid convinced me finally, after asking me to try it for the last 2-3 years, he finally got me to watch on Netflix Young Sheldon, which I thought would be the stupidest thing on earth. And for anyone who's not aware, Young Sheldon is a prequel focused on one of the main characters from The Big Bang Theory. And I thought, I thought Finn would leave if I talked about Young Sheldon. I thought it was going to be the stupidest thing in the world. I don't even like The Big Bang Theory. Why do I want to watch a prequel about one of the characters? And I watched it and I'm like, oh shit, this is kind of funny. I'm enjoying it more than the show that it was spun off from. So maybe Dexter Original Sin has a prayer. Maybe.
Well, they're already pissed me off because they stole our good friend Nick Skvetchkovich's name. Because he's the original sin.
You're talking about former WWE star Kazarni.
Yeah, exactly. Sin Bodhi. You know what I mean? He's the original sin. So there you go.
I saw another story that I thought was interesting, which was about the Champagne Poppy. Toronto's own. OVO's own. Drake. Drizzy Drake. Saying, this was on TMZ, it said Drake will be making his presence felt now, roaming around in his new Texas neighborhood that he just moved into, because he dropped over $200,000 on a truck built for Doomsday. It's made by Apocalypse Manufacturing. It's got a Hemi Hellcat V8 6.2 liter engine, 870 horses, full-time four-wheel drive. It's armored and has riveted doors. And I thought, oh, he's really worried about the beef. But then I thought, what would I do if I was Drake? What would I do if I was in that position? And I wanted to get a vehicle that had some real muscle behind it. And Tid, I don't know if I've ever discussed this with you or if we've ever talked about it on the air, but if we have, it's probably been a very long time. I'm going to grab a still from a website. If we can share that quickly, just so you can see what I'm referring to. This is what is known as the Rezvani tank. If I had a cool $1.5 million, $2 million laying around, this would be my daily ride. The Rezvani tank looks like a Hummer fucked a Jeep. I think that's accurate, right? For anyone who's listening, not watching.
What are the tires made of?
The tires are bulletproof. They never go flat. They cannot be punctured. I don't know what they're made of. Magic. The car is bulletproof. The undercarriage is completely sealed with solid steel. No exposed anything.
That's impossible. You wouldn't be able to in the shock area here.
Yeah, okay, right there. But I'm saying all this under... See where I'm pointing? Mm-hmm. All this area here, totally solid, solid, closed off. The entire vehicle and the windows, all completely bulletproof. It's got super intense blinding light headlamps, so you can literally incapacitate someone with these headlamps.
How long has this been out?
A few years. It's got electrified door handles.
Okay.
If anyone tries to get in, the door handles are electrified. Okay. It has built-in mounted pepper sprayers.
Flamethrowers? It has,
what's that?
Flamethrowers?
I think that's an add-on.
Switchblade that's come out the bottom and cut people's legs off?
It's got an electric magnetic pulse deactivator, so it can deactivate electronics in its vicinity.
Okay.
Like, this thing is so ridiculous, and I love it so much.
Here's my first question, though.
Yeah.
How come the president doesn't have one?
It's a great question.
How come the Pope isn't riding one?
It's got thermal night vision, Tid. It's got a full heads-up display with night vision infrared.
Oh, yeah, because that's the vehicle you take when you're going poaching.
Look at this.
How much what do these go for, Donnie?
The sticker price on this, hold on, let me check. Last time I looked at it, it was stupid. Let's see. Rezvani tank. Oh, it's just taking me right back to the website I was on. Okay, hold on. Let's see this.
Yeah.
I'm sure you got to do build yours.
Yeah.
It's okay, let's build one.
You got to ask, then you can't afford it.
Oh, they got, look at this one. I've never seen this one before. The Vengeance. This looks like a police SWAT vehicle. That one starts at $285. Optional military package. What?
How come more organizations, like, you know, the world leaders aren't cruising around in these things? Not even the people with all of the money. We're talking about the Saudis. How come the Saudis aren't cruising around in these?
Oh, in Abu Dhabi, you'll see a bunch of them. The Rezvani tank military edition with over 20 security features starts at only $260. That ain't bad.
Can you do payments?
Yeah, low monthly payments of $90,000 a month.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, right? That makes sense.
Holy shit, I've never seen this one. Look at this, the Hercules 6x6.
Oh, yeah. You know, more tires. Now, here's the thing. If that tire never goes flat, it obviously wears out over time because that's just the way that tires are, right?
You think you can get new Hercules tires at Canadian Tire?
What's it going to cost you to replace that? How about the fucking air conditioning goes out? Who you got to take this thing to get this thing worked on?
I think there's a small Tibetan man that lives inside under the hood that just blows cold air at you.
It's got to be something because you're not just taking this. Like, where's the closest dealership?
I don't know. Right? The only reason I know that this exists is because two summers ago, I was driving downtown with my kid, and we're down in Liberty Village heading towards the CNE, and we're stuck in bumper to bumper traffic, as is always the case in Toronto. And then all of a sudden, I turn my head to the left, and right beside me is this beast of a vehicle. And I go, what the fuck is that? I was so, like, that rarely happens, right? When you see a car on the road and go, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And so I looked at it as I let it go past us. And because I just, as the bumper to bumper traffic was starting to move, I'm like, no, I want to see the back and read the model. Like, what is this bitch, right? And it said Rezvani tank, and it had Abu Dhabi registration on it. And I, UAE. And then I went and I Googled it, and I said, what the fuck is Rezvani? And I came across the Rezvani tank. And then I saw one a year later at the Toronto Car Show. I was like, oh my God, this thing is insane. Like, if I had that money just laying around.
Can you go on Auto Trader?
Anyone want my Gremlin for a Rezvani tank?
I'm just saying.
I think they might have a couple of the Hercules 6x6s on there.
How do you spell it?
R-E-Z. V-A-N-I.
Let's see if it even shows up here in the list.
I'm sure it will not. I love that you're looking on Auto Trader. Like, no. The white trash man's looking for the car.
Oh, it's going to happen. Yeah, just like you got these motherfuckers driving around on these 1987 fucking BMWs thinking they're cool. Eventually, there's going to be somebody busting around on an old ass Rezvani fucking beast of a tank.
Yeah, the Sultan is not listing his Rezvani on Auto Trader.
Not yet. Not yet. Right?
Oh my God, I'm pissing myself. I don't know, dude. I find it to be the funniest shit in the world. Like, I see that and I just think, holy shit. Okay, here's my last story for you. And this one I bring up as a cautionary tale for you, my big brother.
For me.
And that is the dangers of hot tubs. And the dangers of hot tubs in Mexico.
Too much.
Because I know that you love Mexico, and I think you're probably not opposed to enjoying a hot tub. There was an incident this week where two people, two Americans vacationing in Mexico, were at a high-end resort. They got into a hot tub and one of them never came out.
What do you mean?
There was an electrical malfunction with some of the gadgets in the hot tub, and this motherfucker fried inside the hot tub from an electrical discharge.
Oh, but he still came out.
Let me rephrase.
Like, you make it sound like it was some fucking X-Files fucking episode or something, where it's like,
no, he didn't get sucked into the filter.
Machine? Is that what it was? Are you fucking reading the script to Hot Tub Time Machine right now, Donnie? The fuck is wrong with you, guy? Oh, five guys go into a fucking hot tub and nobody comes back. Yeah, we saw the movie, no, asshole.
He didn't go to 1993. George Guillen and Lizette Zambrano were in, from El Paso, Texas, were in the hot tub. And George or Jorge.
Or like El Paso Way, Texas. What's up? What's up? What you got?
There's a special place in hell for you.
Yeah, it's called fucking head of the fucking table. Oh, sorry, wait, should it be this way?
My face fucking hurts. I'm just saying, you like to go to Mexico.
I love Mexico.
So if you're going to go to Mexico and you're going to hot tub, please have your lovely wife stay in the room and only you die.
Well, that would be a given. First of all, you got to be an absolute maniac to be going into a hot tub in Mexico. Like, the fuck are you thinking, bro?
We're on vacation. What the fuck? Why is that so crazy?
Go in the ocean, go in a pool, not a hot tub. Hot tub is for like winters in Canada and muckalucks and like snow lodges and shit like that.
Okay, in your defense for that really bizarre statement, it is the second week of June. In Mexico right now, it's probably 104 degrees, right?
Yeah.
So what the fuck are you doing in a hot tub? Yeah. That's
exactly. Exactly. What happened was that motherfucker got drunk and stuck his dick in the fucking outlet. All right. There's nothing wrong with hot tubs in Mexico. Stop disparaging the fine folks of Mexico because you decided to get freaky with your fucking hot tub while you were on vacation.
You hot tub fucker.
Yeah. Fucking assholes.
Jorge.
Exactly.
You hot tub fucker.
Or Jorge, whore B, whore C. I don't know what the fuck you got.
Oh my God. Do you think his widow will ever go in another hot tub again?
Yeah. Yeah, she will. She will because she planned it. She was like, nah, I'm not going to put out for him. And then he's going to be forced to get really drunk and fuck the hot tub and get zapped. She still lives in Mexico and has herself a new Mexican fucking boyfriend.
Oh my God. Head of Hell's Table, ladies and gentlemen. That's Chris Tidwell.
Hello.
All right, Tid, let's wrap this bitch up. Tell everyone where they can find you this week.
I mean, after this, who knows? I might be going
bottom of the lake.
I might be going to fucking Mexico, ladies and gentlemen. See how freaky this hot tub really is.
Say hot tub. I heard you're a whore.
Just make a bunch of little hot tubs together.
Give me your best, bitch. I've had enough of this life.
Oh, unbelievable. You know what? You can always go check out everything over at Tid Talk on YouTube, as well as The Law - Live Audio Wrestling. Go like and subscribe that as well on SNME Radio Network. All of the stuff there. Things are popping off. So we're getting very, very close to all of that fun new level of stuff with the YouTube over at The Law. So, you know, come on by, subscribe, like. Check it out. Listen, we talk a lot of shit about MMA that seems to really pique people's interest. It's funny. You'd think that people who come from wrestling backgrounds talking MMA, and that's stuff that pops off. It's great because, you know, the nice thing is there's another wrestling show called Sunday Night Main Event that handles a lot of wrestling stuff. Like the way that, it, you know, you put it on the radio, you have a couple of guys, a couple of marks, and they do their thing and they have interviews. Ooh. And, you know, they do all of that stuff, whereas I just pretty much, you know, shit talk everything anyways. So there's places for everybody, Donnie. And it's all so
Sunday night's main event.
SNME Radio.
If you want to hear one of those marks barking off, that would be this guy right here. You can tune in on Sunday to TSN Radio if you're in Canada. Or you can go to Sunday night's main event or anywhere you fucking download podcasts. Yeah. This week, I am doing an exclusive one-on-one interview with former WWE superstar Chris Masters, who, by the way, one of the biggest sweethearts ever. Just the nicest fucking guy. Like, legitimately one of the nicest guys ever. And now I know why he was never a top guy. Now I know why he was never world champion. He wasn't enough of an asshole.
Well, you know what? There's those guys in the business, and that's an actual fucking true statement.
Yeah, and dude.
Sometimes if you don't have that kind of an edge to you, you know what I mean? And you're going to get overlooked. There's the whole saying, like the squeaky wheel gets the grease or whatever the fuck you want to say. And if you're not the squeaky wheel, you know, sometimes it sucks being a nice guy, man.
The guy whose character was being this narcissistic, pompous fuck.
Yeah. It's
the biggest sweetheart. Tune into the show. You can find out what he's up to. He's part of a big event this Saturday in North Bay for Northland Wrestling, defending his King of the North championship against my pal. Tid doesn't like him that much. His name is Asylum.
Whoever started that rumor?
Just catching strays, motherfucker.
Wild fucking rumor.
It's going to be Tid Tid's not wrestling. It's going to be Chris Masters and Asylum. Tid will fight Asylum later on in a back alley.
You don't want that.
I love starting beef. That's all. There's no beef. I'm trying to start beef for my own entertainment.
He was at my wedding. I was at his wedding.
I know. I'm just being a
dick. Who fucking started this rumor?
Me. I'm entertaining myself.
You're such a mark.
I think it's going to be a fantastic show. Also on that show, Mo Jabari, Kid Chocolate, who I affectionately refer to as Bret Hart's brown son. You're also going to have Tommy Billington, the Dynamite Kid, who is the nephew of the original Dynamite Kid, Tom Billington. And goddamn, if you haven't seen this kid, he looks like his uncle. He's starting to work like his uncle. It's kind of freaky.
That's awesome. Aren't they paying us for this spot?
Well, they were very nice to put us over and to give us the airtime for SNME. So I said I'd give them a quick plug.
Cool. You did that on SNME. You fucking kiss my ass over here.
I'm sorry, Dangerous.
I don't care how fucking dangerous you are. Fucking little midget.
Special place in hell for you. That's Tid. I'm Donnie. Go fuck yourselves.
You know what?
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
All right then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.